The new section, you'll see this is Perek Hamishi in Shaar Sheni, Mavo Kotzer LeMitzvos. This is an introduction to a series of chapters. If I'm not mistaken, there'll be five more chapters, although each one of them are very small, but five more chapters, actually one or two of them actually a little bit bigger, but none of them are too big. A whole section altogether, a unit, I guess is the best word, about the importance of and various dimensions of mitzvah observance. And Perek Hamishi, the one we'll do today, is the overview or the introduction to the whole concept. And he starts off right away. He leads with, you know, his a serious uppercut. Doesn't want you to miss the lead. Ein lanu ba'olamenu ela mitzvoteinu. That's it. Hakol kalu bahem. Right, he'll unpack that for the rest of the chapter. But that is the incredibly ambitious thesis that he makes. That pretty much everything we have, everything that's important, ultimately comes from our mitzvos. Everything is derived from them. And he's going to have a successive list now of small paragraphs, point by point by point, where he kind of unpacks and dissects almost every aspect of religious life and talks about how each one of them are basically wrapped up in the mitzvos. But before he gets into, so to speak, mitzvah life, he gets into life itself. Ein lanu chayim ela b'mitzvos. All of our life, in essence, is the mitzvos. V'chol ofanei hachayim tluyim b'gisha el ha-mitzvot. And pretty much entire experience of life depends on our approach to mitzvos, as the pasuk says, v'chay behem. Now, I think what he's, you know, aside from something that may be somewhat more metaphysical that he's getting at, on the most prosaic level, this I think is very easy for us to understand and to resonate with, which is, especially if you're religious, right, you just think about your day, you think about your week, you think about your month, you think about your year. The entire architecture of our lives are built around the mitzvos. I mean, obviously, you just came from Minyan, you just had tefillin, you're thinking about Shabbos, right? Everything, again, some days more intensively than others, but our whole lives are wrapped up in the
science?
Mitzvos.
Huh? Science.
That our actual lives, what we experience, our whole lives. He's not saying there's nothing in the universe that's not a mitzvah. He's saying our lives, our chayim, is all based on mitzvos. Furthermore, next paragraph. Ein tachlis b'yitzira. Zulas asiyas ratzon habore, right? This is, you know, the ultimate question that philosophers and teenagers have been asking forever. What's the point of it? Why am I here? What's the point of life? So says Rav Volbi, the Jewish answer is to fulfill ratzon habore, to do God's will. Well, how do I know what God wants? Answer, the mitzvos. That's how I know what God wants. Kol ha'olamot, he gives a mashal from the Ramban, that all the various universes and the worlds, that's not to you, Semple, all the various universes, everything in science, everything everywhere, including this world, it's all domel li'ilan gadol achad. It's all one big tree. Uperotav, and what are the fruits of that tree? Hein hein ha'mitzvos shanu osim ba'olam hazeh. As the Ramban says, ha'mitzvos hein peros ha'olam. It's funny, I was just learning something in the Kuzari with one of my students earlier in the week, and the Kuzari points out, I'm sorry, that was a different thing. I was learning something with a different Chavrusa in the Rambam's Hakdama to the Mishnah, and he points out that if you want to know what is the purpose of something, you look to see, you know, so to speak, what its peros are. And, you know, in this case, he was comparing all the natural world and contrasting it with the human beings, who we seem to have many things that, so to speak, emerge from us. It's more complicated. But the point is, I think that's what he's getting at with this mashal here as well. That is to say that by referring to mitzvos as the peros, right, what's the point of an apple tree? The apples. What's the point of an orange tree? The oranges. So what's the point of the world? The mitzvos. That's what it means by it's the metaphor of they're the peros of this world. Next paragraph. Ein avodas Hashem bli mitzvos, right? This is, you know, really, really important, obviously, and on, you know, some on a more subtle level, you know, in many ways this distinguishes certainly Orthodoxy from non-Orthodox Judaism, and maybe, depending on your perspective, even different parts of Orthodoxy put different emphases on this. But nevertheless, he says, there's no such thing as worshiping God, having a relationship with Hashem, without mitzvos. Now, what he means by that, and he's going to continue to say, is understanding the sense of authority. The idea that these aren't just nice ideas and nice morals that, you know, someone else might have thought of, and which may be true, but that specifically they are ratzon Hashem. And to prove this, he quotes the famous Gemara in Masechta Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, who says that we know we have the mitzvah of shooing away the mother bird. If you want to take the eggs, you can't take them at one time. So says the Gemara, if a person will say, oh yeah, that must be just because Hashem is merciful. Says the Gemara, Meshatkin Oso. No. We shut him up, to put it bluntly. After all, Osa Midosav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim. You've reduced, so to speak, the mitzvos to ethics. Rav Soloveitchik was very, very fond of this. He used to talk about how we can't make the Torah or mitzvos the handmaiden of ethics. It doesn't mean, again, this is a point which we don't have time to really, really analyze. This is a really serious philosophical point. But again, it doesn't mean that there aren't ethics in the Torah, of course, or that we can't derive ethical lessons from the Torah. The question is just which one comes first. Do you assume that it's ethics, and because we have to have this ethic, Mimela, therefore the mitzvah had to be X? That's what Rav Soloveitchik meant, but you can't make the mitzvahs the handmaiden to the ethics. You're saying that's the primary, and the derivative is the mitzvah. And I think that's the same point that this, I mean, it's really from this Gemara, and that's what Rav Olbi is saying as well. As the Gemara says, the purpose of the mitzvahs, again, we don't really know the ultimate purpose, but we start off with the assumption that it's not that rachamim, for example, mercy as an ethical value, as a moral value, that that's the highest value, and then mamela, we do the mitzvah. On the contrary, rather, there's something about the very fact that we have to do it just because Hashem said so. Chukei gzerosav lohodiyah shehem avadav. We do things to acknowledge Hashem's superiority, so to speak, over us. V'shomrei mitzvosav v'gzerosav chukosav af v'darim sheish l'satan ul'akum l'hashiv aleim. Even things that don't make any sense. Right? The things which seem to be very moral and ethical in the Torah. So each one of versus the things which don't seem to have any rationality. Kashrus, chatneys, things like that. Each one of them, ironically, each one of them have their, so to speak, strength and their weakness. When it comes to the moral, easily understood ethical mitzvos, on the one hand, they're easily understood. That's great. On the other hand, we're much more susceptible to making that ethic or that moral a higher value than the mitzvah itself. On the other hand, when it comes to chukim, so there, you know, it's obvious that the only reason to do it is because of the mitzvah. And on the other hand, we have a harder time with those, and people make fun of us, and they say the Jews are silly, etc. Either way, the common denominator is, what gives it meaning, is that is a tzivui. And he's going to actually elaborate on that in the next paragraph or so. Next, ein hitalut mishfirut halev el al yidei mitzvah ma'isa mitzvah. Now, I'm not, anyone know a good literal translation of what exactly means by mishfirut halev? I mean, it's not just his phrase, but it seems like what he's referring to is just simply either the capriciousness or the, you know, the wanderings of the heart.
Wantonness.
Give another. What's a synonym for wantonness? What do you mean by that, Nathan? Okay.
This usually has a negative connotation, no?
Yes, this is a negative. This is negative, though. Shvirus Alev, he means it's good. Meaning, how do we elevate ourselves? How do we free ourselves? How do we liberate ourselves from the meanderings of the heart? So he points out, based on the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin, of Gadol HaMetzuva V'yose, Mimisha Eina Metzuva V'yose, right? A very interesting halachic value, right? You would think that to volunteer for something would be more impressive than someone who just does something because they're commanded. But the Gemara says just the opposite. Again, if you volunteer for something, again, sometimes you're not supposed to volunteer. But in theory, most of the time, a person could volunteer for a mitzvah, so they're not obligated in, and you even get rewarded. But the Gemara says it's even more impressive, and you get even more reward if you do something you are obligated for. Right? Every 8th grader, every 10th grader, whoever reads that Gemara for the first time, always bothered by the same question, which is already the Rishonim's question. Ibcha Mestabra, shouldn't that be more reward? I volunteered, I didn't even have to do it. So there are a lot of different answers in the Rishonim, but they're all variations, more or less, of something very similar. He quotes here from Tosfos, and that is that Enechanami, from the perspective of the activity, the fact that you volunteered, is the same or better. But there's something about, as he puts it here, Hit'alut mishfirut halev ein bazeh, sheyesh pas pasalo, shemirtza yaniach. That is to say, if you volunteer, the very fact that you know you didn't have to do it, the very fact that you know that at any point in the middle you could stop. Hey, I didn't have to do it anyway. So you're lacking that sense of being kufuf. There's something about liberating, you know, we're either avadim to our taiva or avadim to Hashem. So once we accept or we realize that we're doing this because we have to, there's some ingredient in that awareness and that acceptance which is going to be irreplaceable if we are volunteering, because the whole very fact that we know we have to and that we're responsive to this obligation is itself a value to the mitzvah, which is what helps us, as he says, again, he repeats the phrase again, so he's very fond of this phrase, is mitgaber al atzmo, Val shrirut libo. Next, he says, is another paragraph, which is a little bit, I'm not 100% sure why, obviously if he has two different paragraphs, he means that they're not exactly the same thing, but I'm not 100% positive even in what ways they're different, but he says, another phrase, again, based on another famous statement of Chazal, that the mitzvos are mitzarfos es adam. Mitzvos purify a person. Kihein matabiot al chayenu seder eloki hamarome motano mi pashtut v'chomriut hachayim. That is to say, it's not just in the moment that when we do the mitzvah, it has a certain benefit on us. But if we live a life of mitzvah observance, it makes us better people. It purifies us in the long run. And based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Imras Hashem Tzerufa, that the word of Hashem will refine us. Lo nitnu ha-mitzvos li-Yisrael etzaref behen esabrios. Now this is often alluded to. He doesn't use the word, and I guess if I think about it more clearly as I'm speaking now, probably this is the difference between the first paragraph and this one. Usually that Gemara or that Medrash is used in the context of midos. Mm. Or again, certain mitzvos are obviously connected to ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'atzmo, or midos, but on some level what Chazal are telling us is that all mitzvos are intended to make us better people. Tzarif behen esabrios, to purify us, to make us better midos. Okay, so all of this so far, I think, is in a certain sense more, maybe more obvious, more prosaic, easy to understand. But now he, in the next two paragraphs, he actually takes it on a much bigger kind of meta or mega level. And that is, number one, En hashkacha pratit, ve'ezer elokim aleinu, el'aydehem mitzvot. So I'll kind of reduce that or reframe that in a way that I think, I don't know if we can really understand, but more easily understandable. If you want Hashem in your life, or I'll say it another way, very common to speak in today's day and age, if you want a relationship with Hashem, you cannot have a relationship with Hashem, you cannot have Hashem in your life, if the vehicle is not through the mitzvos. But kol kach lama, and where do we know this from? It's a continuation of that same pasuk in Tehillim, from that same medrash, which talks about how the mitzvos are mogein hu lekol hachosim ba. That is to say, says Revolbi, Kolomar, Ayde Tzirf HaMitzvos, Nia Hashem, Magein Lanu. That's what brings Hashem into our life, will Memela help him, allow him to protect us. And he points out that in many different places in the Torah, we won't read it inside now, but he gives one example from Veschanon, but many different psukim that speak about how through the mitzvos, we can merit Hashem's protection. And again, on the broader point, this is the idea of what he calls Hashkacha Pratis, the idea of Hashem's involvement in our life. Next, if we go to the bottom of the page, the last paragraph, which is going to turn over to the next page, it's a very big paragraph, he discusses something that's even bigger and way beyond what we can really understand on our level, but I think we can understand it on a prosaic level as well, and that is what he refers to, Ein hitgalut ha'inyan ha'eloki, shehi madregat klal Yisrael, i.e., nevu avenes al ayidei mitzos. There's this thing called inyan eloki. And as when we turn over the page, you'll see he's really quoting from the Kuzari. I don't know if the Kuzari is the first person to use that phrase, but he's certainly the most famous person to use that phrase. The heavenly, the godly thing, the inyan. But here he's being very clear. He means the idea of having miracles or having prophecy. Yeah, prophecy certainly is not something that anybody living today can really understand. And miracles, again, I don't mean that I don't believe in it when I say that the Six-Day War was a miracle, but I think usually in our mind, we're all lazy, so we think of Kriyas Yamsuf as a miracle. But whichever miracle you're referring to, so says the Kuzari, and therefore says Ravolbi, that's under the umbrella called Inyan Eloki. And what do we have to do in order to merit the Inyan Eloki on a national level, let alone on an individual level? Also through mitzvos. And I'm not, again, because we won't be able to finish if I read the rest of this particular paragraph all inside. If you turn over the page, the rest of this paragraph, very, very big paragraph, is all about a metaphor, a very famous mashal of the Kuzari in Ma'amar Aleph, in which he says as follows, and here's his point, and this is, again, a lot of these paragraphs are all overlapping or connecting. His point is, it's not enough to just do mitzvos, they're not magic potions. Which if you do it, not even knowing what you're doing or why you're doing it, but just quick, take this, somebody chas v'shalom, it's like in a movie, someone had like a poison or, got bit by a snake, you don't understand why this should help me, just take it, and all of a sudden, the potion will make you better, or, take a bite of the apple or whatever, or have the princess kiss you, I forget. It's been a while since I read any of these little books to my kids. Frog. The frog, see? My youngest, what can I say? My youngest is 15 and a half. So it's all, I'm another madriga. Anyway, I'm in another place of life at the moment. How quickly we forget. Anyway, or another way of saying it is how quickly we get used to Shabbos naps. Anyway, you all have that. Those of you who are still younger have that to look forward to. It makes all the chartering worth it when you just think of one day I'll get a Shabbos nap again. Anyway, so the Kuzari says it's a mistake. He says it's comparable to a fool who breaks into a pharmacy and the pharmacist is not there. Now remember, especially in the olden days, the pharmacist didn't just sell the medication or put it in the right box. The pharmacist was the one who was cooking up the brew, right? He actually made the medicines. So this fool doesn't know anything about medicines, but he knows that this is the place you go to get healed. And he opens up the cupboard and he sees there's all this medicines. And not only is he taking it for himself, people come to the pharmacy, he's giving it out. And he thinks he's giving out the elixir of life, but really, he's killing people. Because he doesn't know that this medication is for this. And even if you give the right medication to the right person, you need to give the right dose. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He doesn't realize, in the metaphor, that it's not just the medicine, but it's the pharmacist who teaches you. Or if you don't have the pharmacist, you're really missing the whole thing. Maybe he gets lucky and gives the right thing to one person, but most likely he's going to make horrible mistakes. So the metaphor and the lesson for us, and this is the last three lines of that paragraph, if you want to look inside. Al derech zu, hayeh b'nei Adam, kodeh Moshe. He says, this is the idea of people doing mitzvos without realizing that they're from Hashem. You just see, oh yeah, Jewish people, religious people, they keep kosher, or they do this. So therefore, I'm going to have a blessed life if I'll keep kosher, if I'll do X, Y, and Z. He says, it doesn't work that way. If you take the godliness and the divinity out of the mitzvah, it's like, again, you might get some incidental benefits. He's not denying that there might be, a quality of life. You know, it's good not to work one every 7 days, and it's good not to, be on your cell phone once every 7 days. It could have some benefits. But the ultimate benefit of mitzvot, with inyan eloki, that you're not going to achieve unless you realize that it's coming from Hashem. He says, this is where various people, even, before the Torah was given, other than a few people who understood, really the truth, but most people, he says, were going mipulchan el pulchan, like from a cult to another cult, me aloha le aloha. They don't realize amoil batzma huha inyan eluki v'hamazik huha edro. Right, you're basically losing everything if you take that at it. This reminded me. I was skimming just a few weeks ago. I had seen it promoted somewhere, and I read the article. It's fantastic in Wired magazine, which is certainly not a Jewish magazine, and I think it might even be in its field, considered somewhat nechshav, maybe even a prestigious magazine. Anyway, someone, I think she's a balas tshuva, if I'm not mistaken, she wrote an incredibly wonderful article, brilliantly written, great, she's a great writer, all about this idea that in the secular world, again, because people are, after a generation now, people are waking up to the disastrous effects of being, completely wed to our smartphones and the impact it's having on ourselves and on our children and on our family lives. So totally non-religious, secular people are, anyone who has any exposure to Orthodox Jews or religious Jews, that they've heard of this thing called Shabbos, and, there's this 24 hours of people. So people are trying to have this secular notion of a secular Sabbath, a no phone day. And this girl, she wasn't trying to be like patronizing. Again, it was so well done. But her basic point was, it's not going to work. If you take God out of Shabbos, it's not going to work. Like, I'm not remotely doing it justice. If anyone wants, if you text me afterwards, I think I still have the link somewhere in my WhatsApp because I sent it to one or two of my relatives. I just thought the article was so well done. But she was making the point, in a totally secular moment, you can't take God out of mitzvos. The real magic sauce and special ingredient of what makes Shabbos, and she's specifically talking about some of the things we come here, she doesn't just mean God in some mystical sense, she even means the sense that it's duty. Right? If it's just because you thought it was a good idea, it's not going to last, because then you're going to get that text that really, really is important. You have to answer. And again, certain like very commonsensical insights, but also a lot of deeply profound insights. Again, it's just so well, also very, very well written. So it's basically the same point that the Kuzari and Revolbi are making here. And he sums it up in two lines here. Next paragraph: Hainyan Eloki, Madrigot HaTorah BaTarat HaGuf V'Machshava. All the things. Basically, that was a summary of everything we saw until now. This idea of having an inyan eloki, whatever that's, hard to define, but that spiritual component, which may even make us worthy of miracles, of prophecy, and the various madregos that we can go up, and purifying ourselves, purifying our thoughts, and always growing up, and midos, etc., etc., etc. L'kol zezochim achvarak, adekim hamitzvos bishlemutan. Of course, that last word is very, very key. Because you can do mitzvahs half-heartedly, you can do mitzvahs improperly, but if a person puts everything, all their koichos, into the mitzvah and also doing them correctly, that is the way that pretty much all of these things ultimately will come. Now, here's the key point. We need two more minutes, and with this we'll conclude. Which is, one could have, it'd be wrong, so don't do it, but one could have mistaken the last 15 minutes and the first page and a half for being almost anti-intellectual. Right? There's a classic, you know, tension between thought and action, right? You know, the doer or the thinker. So everything that he's been emphasizing now is about doing the mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. Someone, you know, might say, hey, what happened to Torah study? Everything's mitzvahs. Really? I thought everything's supposed to be. Isn't Torah study important? And what happened to being thoughtful and intellectual? Where did that go? So this is what he ends the piece on. And that is, you need to understand, ulam, chachma rabba tzarech lahashkia b'kiyama mitzvahs. You can't separate the two. It's actually a false choice. Because if a person is not sufficiently intellectual, is not sufficiently steeped in learning, then they won't do the mitzvahs correctly. They leave aside other benefits that are maybe in what we would call Torah l'shma, learning for learning's sake. But you can't say, I'm just going to say, forget the mitzvahs, forget the learning, I'm all in on the mitzvahs. Because it's not possible to do the mitzvahs without the learning. And he quotes a very, very powerful metaphor, which he unpacks for us, from Rabbi Yochanan in the Vikra Rabbah. The olam yasa atzmo kabarnit, heich la'asora mitzvah. A person has to make himself the captain of his own ship of mitzvahs. We are on the SS mitzvah. And you, if you're not the captain, and you're an expert captain, says the Gemara, the matter should be in trouble. Now, what does that mean? So says Rav Volbi, Adam Dome La'aniya. Basically, we are like a ship, Belev Yam, and we're in the middle of the raging seas. So what are the mitzvahs? If we're the ship, what are the mitzvahs? They're that lonely port out in the distance. Hamitzvah Dome La'namal, a love tzarech l'chaven es aniya. We are in the rage, it's dark, all we got is a little moonlight, and we're trying to navigate by the stars, and we see in the distance that lighthouse, we see that port we're trying to get to, the mitzvos, because we know that if we can get there, that's going to have everything we need, because the mitzvos we just saw, all the good things in life are going to come from following the mitzvos and living a life of mitzvos. So how do we get our ship, the ship of our lives, to the desired port, to the mitzvos? Rak Rav Chovel Mumchem Sugal Limso Et Hashvil Biyam Hamovil El Hamitzvah Amita. Only an expert captain knows how to navigate the high seas, knows how to navigate the stars in order to get himself and get his ship to the desired port, even in a stormy night of stormy sea. Therefore, his point being, if you don't have the Torah, you don't have the knowledge, you don't become an expert, how are you possibly going to steer the ship in the right way? And he concludes the whole point by just giving a simple mashal, which is somewhat scary. He says, if you just think about your regular day, forget, you know, Yom Kippur or something like that, your regular day or a regular week, he quickly lists 7, 8, 9, 10 mitzvos that we do. We learn, we put on tefillin, we keep Shabbos hopefully once a week, etc., etc., we give tzedakah hopefully, things like that. Okay, all these mitzvos. But how do we do them? He says, Ketzad anu mekayimin osam. He says, these mitzvahs to do, again, remember, bishlemut, to do these mitzvahs correctly, that's not easy. What is Kriya Shema? You think Kriya Shema is just the words? Shema is kavol so machos shemayim. Do you know how hard that is? To genuinely be mekavol machos shemayim? Benching! Right, he points out, again, it's harder than it is for most of us to have kavana in Shemon Esrei. I think he makes a very astute observation. Most people have far less kavana in benching. At least in davening, you're standing, you're in a shul, even if you're not in shul, but you're standing quietly, you know, with your feet together for whatever how many minutes, you have a chance. But benching, you're at the table, you're satiated, right? Maybe, again, especially, you know, even if you don't have young kids, but if you have young kids, who knows what's going on in the house, right? How many people really have kavanah when they do that? And what about our Shabbos, right? This is our Shabbos. This is Mahi HaShabbos Shalanu. Which was the Rabbanon. Right? The Mishnah Berurah famously says that if you don't learn Hilchos Shabbos, you can't get through Shabbos without being mechalit. Not because you're a bad person, because you don't even know what you're tripping over. But says Rav Volbi, I'll be more charitable. Naniach, you know all the halachos. Yaniach that you don't violate any mitzvos. Acha im anu yodim, me menuchas ha-shabbos, ukudushosa. Do you understand what it really means to have a spiritual Shabbos, to truly experience the potential and the spiritual blessing of Shabbos? That's not easy at all. That takes someone who's really, really learned and thoughtful. So none of this, as much as he's hammering on the importance of mitzvos, this shouldn't be in any way misunderstood as de-emphasizing the importance of learning and being a thoughtful intellectual Jew, not only because that may have benefit in its own right, but because simply you won't be able to get anything, all the things that you need to get out of the mitzvos, which he's just elaborated on, you won't be able to get any of those without that prior investment of knowledge and intellectual apprehension of the purpose and the way to do all those mitzvos.